knowledge and practices related to medical abortion among women and pharmacy workers in Mexico. Well, legal status. Abortion in Mexico is legally restricted with exceptions to the law, varying from state to state. And in April 2007, abortion was made legal on demand for up to 12 weeks of gestation in Mexico City. Some aspects of misoprostol access is that misoprostol is one option for women for seeking medical abortions, and that the places where they can get this medication is the private pharmacies. And although they need a prescription, the pharmacies often sold over the counter. Studies have shown that knowledge of pharmacy workers about misoprostol dosing and side effects is low in Mexico and also in other countries. We did two research, one about pharmacy workers of chain and independent pharmacies in one state of central Mexico, and another with young women from 15 to 24 years in a low resource setting in Mexico City. Well, I just choose one objective for both studies, and it's to get information about the knowledge and practices related to misoprostol use. The methodology. The study among young women in Mexico City, we use a random sample stratified by level of marginality in one large neighborhood in Iztapalapa, and we separated between very high, and middle marginality. We gave a questionnaire to 343 women from 15 to 24 years, and it was a quantitative research with closed and open-ended questionnaire applied during June and July 2006. About the pharmacy study, it was a random sample of chain and independent pharmacies in Morelos, 98 chain pharmacies and 79 independent pharmacies. In total, we have 177 pharmacies. The methodology, we use the fictitious client. We applied this in August and to November 2006, and one fictitious client visited each pharmacy and asked for a medication to induce menstruation, but stating that she was pregnant. If misoprostol or other medication was offered, the fictitious client asked about dosing, side effects, and the efficacy. If misoprostol was not offered, the fictitious client said that someone has told her about MISO and that, and then ask about more information. Now, the results of the pharmacy study, we found that 60% of pharmacy workers mentioned some abortifacient spontaneously. Now, if we see specifically the medications, we can see that 35% mentioned misoprostol, 48% mentioned Metrigen, 17% mentioned other medications like vitamin B and other emergency contraception. It's interesting to see that Metrigen was the first mentioned by pharmacy workers, and but Metrigen is not useful to terminate abortions. No? Is just to restore menstruation, restore the cycle. The results of the pharmacy study, in 63% was available, misoprostol was available. 35% recommended, of the pharmacy workers recommended spontaneously, and pharmacy workers asked the fictitious client for a prescription, only the 19%. Pharmacy worker gave the fictitious client the effective dosing scheme in 44%, and in 77%, the pharmacy worker advised about the complications and side effects. About the price of the bottle, we found that it is very expensive, comparison with Bolivia, for example, in Bolivia it's $19. No? So this is an obstacle also to get the medication. Now, with respect to the results of the knowledge of young women, the young women's study, we have 83% were single from 15 to 24 years, and most of the women, the 73%, reported having knowledge on substance that can terminate pregnancy. So it's a high percentage. But most of the women spontaneously mentioned the pills and injections without specifying the name of the medication. But now the only women that mentioned the specific medication said that emergency contraception, the 8%, herbs and teas, 6.7%, DMC, 6%. The side effect is like the commercial name of misoprostol, 4%, and a range of methods such as liver injections, sperm seeds, 1%. So this is important to see that the emergency contraception is associated with the termination of abortion, of pregnancy. When asking women specifically about the misoprostol, 12% have heard about it, and 89% of these 12% mention the pharmacy as the place to buy it. 55% knew that it is used before 2 months of pregnancy, 42% reported knowledge on how to use it, and 37% reported knowledge on the doses. But it's interesting to see that no women reported the correct dosage for use for early first trimester abortion. 168 out of 343, there's a mistake, women were sexually active. And more than half of the women reported at least one unexpected menstrual delay. From these women, 101 women that had an unexpected menstrual delay, 43 women associated the delay with pregnancy, and 10 decided to do something to terminate the pregnancy. And it represents the 2.9% of all women in this study. And we compared this with the National Survey of Demographic Dynamics in 2006, and we found that in Mexico City, induced abortion represents 2.7% of women from 15 to 49 years, and so the percentage is very similar. Well, from these 10 women that did something, 6 women took medications, 3 Cytotec, 2 pills, and 1 did not remember the name of the medication. But the way they take the pills and the way they buy these pills, we assume that all of them were buying Cytotec. No? 1 drank tea, and 3 surgical abortion. In most cases, the friends recommended the medication for these women. Medication was obtained in the pharmacies, and only 1 bought the complete bottle, and 5 purchased the separate pills because of the cost. No? Reported need for information. 71% of the full sample would like to get information on how to terminate a pregnancy with Cytotec. 86% prefer to receive information as a brochure or by internet. This is interesting because we have a sample of poor young women, and maybe they are more eager to be anonymous, no? So, because in other studies we have found that most women, middle class women, they prefer like face to face information by physicians, no? And conclusions and recommendations of the pharmacy study. Well, the first, misoprostol is is available over the counter and is the second most commonly recommended medication. The first most commonly recommended medication is Metrigen, and is not effective for abortion. There is an important need to develop strategies to provide accurate information to pharmacy workers because the variability of quality of information provided by pharmacy workers put women at risk for abortion failure and complications. The cost of misoprostol in pharmacies of Mexico is an obstacle for women to buy it, and pharmacy workers are reluctant to sell it as individual pills. In the pharmacy study, we found that from 123 pharmacies, only 5 are considering to buy it separate. No?
So what purpose do they sell a bottle with so many pills?
But that's, medication is not exactly for abortion, but it's for another gastric stomach problem. No? So that's why the dosage is not for terminate pregnancy. And then women, the conclusions of women's knowledge. Women that have heard of and use misoprostol have a very vague information about effective dosage for early abortion. Design educational interventions to provide information on misoprostol doses, care indication and alarm signs to the general population with an important emphasis of young women. And also the dissemination of information will be more effective through networks of young women since they are the ones that are recommending its use to their friends. And also the information must distinguish the difference between emergency contraceptions and effective abortifacient because emergency contraception is the medication that is more associated to termination of pregnancy, no? And not misoprostol. And for methodological recommendations, future qualitative research should include questions aimed at women to understand how confident women are when purchasing misoprostol pills individually, since they are sold in plastic bags and without a laboratory seal, because in some interviews that I did with some women, they say, well, I took this and I bought it in a separate pills, but I'm not sure if they gave me the correct brand of the correct medication. So maybe that's the reason why it didn't function. No? So sometimes they are not confident about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's all. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. Questions, comments from the audience? Please state your name and organization. And if you want to ask anyone in particular in the panel, please say so that also. Barbara?
I don't know what's the position they are going to take, you know, about if women can do it by themselves or if they will. We don't know. We are very preoccupied about the right or the conservative party because we don't want that this medication take us from the market, no? Like in Brazil. So we have to be very cautious about what we don't want to have a very widespread strategies, no? Because we don't want that they take it out from the market.
The question is on, in case you couldn't hear it, on regulating counseling. And do you want to say anything else? No?
No, well, there are not regulations, no? Even also in other kind of medication, the pharmacy workers, they are not, they don't have the knowledge, the correct knowledge to give those information. Women, but we think that maybe with this new contract in Mexico, we can do something with the Ministry of Health that they are very open, no, and to try to do something with pharmacies. But there is no regulation right now.
Start with your second question first. When they went to government, facilities, they were very successful, 95% and above. When they went to private facilities, they didn't always receive a medical termination. They often were given pills and so on. And it's because these private facilities aren't all equal. Some are great, and some are, you know, some are often much better than the government alternative, and some are not. And we didn't have a way of distinguishing between those because we were asking women specifically about that. And in terms of the morbidity figures, we asked women broadly about what complications they had experienced, and then we made decisions on what we considered to be a severe complication. And so it would depend on what we chose as a severe complication. I think that would make our statistics vary. We actually used a combined measure of bed rest and actual medical complications, which included bleeding and so on, which are apparently quite common with government procedures as well as others. And it is worth keeping in mind that going and having an abortion in a government facility in India is not all that healthy anyway.
Yes.
I'm Michelle Mandina. I'm working with Pathfinder in India and Maharashtra, working with about 20,000 sex workers who use a lot of abortion services. In India, not all health services are created equal. People, especially women, will very clearly say, I went to the doctor. But that doctor is most often, more often than not, not an MDPF doctor, i.e., someone who's performing medical training, using some kind of an Ayurvedic or a homeopathic doctor, who in my experience in Maharashtra are the primary providers of the abortion services to our population of sex workers. And what's fascinating also is they pay a lot of money for those services. They will not go to government hospital. And some of your slides in there, for example, why they have to travel, they often travel because they don't want to have an abortion in their hometown. It's not because services are not available, it's because they're going to go outside to have the abortion so that no one in that actual community knows. So, you know, it's a very complex issue that just trying to get information from the women themselves and not then following up and seeing who are some of these providers is really wrought with problems. We've been looking also at trying to train many of these providers exactly on some of these things, working together with IPAC and India to do it. Pregnancy and parenthood that they have. So talking about mid-level providers is almost, I mean, I don't know what it is in Bihar and in MP, but in Maharashtra, for example, we're not even mid-level providers and not even formally allowed to do syndromic management, which is what we're dealing with, you know, for MCI. So I can't imagine that they're going to be given formal revenue approval to do abortion. So, yeah. Interesting study, but the on-ground reality is a long way from there.
I mean, you know, there is a push on certain populations there. I mean, it's just good to know what's going on to see if, you know, things can happen here down the road.
There's a question in the back.
Yeah, there was a question, so I can look at that. I mean, I haven't. I'm still playing around with this data, so that is something I can look at. Definitely.
Question here. There's a question here.
Okay.
I know that IPASS is doing some work around that area, but it's filled with there's great discussion about it because the parallels between HIV and abortion are not so neat, and it's not clear how relevant the stigma HIV literature is to stigma and abortion. There was a question back in the back there. Yes. Could you stand up, say your name?
Genony? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I don't know all the details about what percentage of the healthcare they provide, but yeah, they have franchised healthcare facilities that are regulated, and they're regularly checked up on, and who do play a major role in abortion provision there. But still, because the area is very rural, most of the facilities are in urban areas, so it is still hard to access.
Question back there.
Data, most of the women who did attempt an abortion did not go to a government provider. So there's a lot of money to be made out there. And government services are both inaccessible and often not preferable. For the reasons that we've discussed already. Sometimes they're too local, sometimes they're too far away. You know, when there's only 300 centers in the whole state, and sometimes they're worse than the private practices. But in terms of actual data in the study, I'm not aware of any in this setting. But
okay, I think that in Mexico the challenge is with women, with poor women, because what we have noticed is that in Mexico City, the women that are going to these services, free services, no, that now with the new legalization. They are middle class or women that they read the newspapers and they are informed about the legalization and all that and are empowered to go to these services. So what we want to do now is to disseminate information or to think about creative strategies with poor women that can get these services, no? Because what we have noticed is that they are not going, these poor women are not going to these free services in Mexico City.
I'm aware of one cost study, though I can't tell you the actual prices, but it can